we started this Tosus Biala Kusis on Daf Chav Tesam and Alf, yeah? And Tosus quotes Rashi. Rashi says, Kusis Geri Araya Sein. And therefore, a Kusis is a Nochrish. She comes under the Isolot Eschatin Bar. And we had a long discussion about Rabbi Kivegan Nafla in terms of Kimlev the Rabbinane. Do we apply Kimlev the Rabbinane in case of Kanoim Pogimbo? And one of the conclusions that we came to is that it might depend upon whether Kanoim Pogimbo is a Rishus or it's a Mitzvah. And if Kanoim Pogimbo is only a Rishus, then we would not apply the principle of Kimlev the Rabbinane. This is against Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega seems to go a step further and assume that even in a case of a Rishus, like Kanoim Pogimbo, there would still be Kimlev the Rabbinane. And that forces Rabbi Kivega to interpret our Mishnah in a case where there's no Kanoim Pogimbo. But had there been Kanoim Pogimbo, we would say that there's no knas, even though Kanoim Pogimbo is only a Rishus. And there seems to be a sugya that would establish that in the case of Goel Adam, where the Goel Adam is not chayev to kill the Rotzeach, he doesn't have a mitzvah, he only has a reshus, there's no din of Kimlev the Rabbinane in case of reshus. And that would seem to contradict Rabbi Kivega. Now how do we know that in the case of Goel Adam there's no Kimlev the Rabbinane? So that's what he has here on Os Mem Dalet on page Tzadi Hei in the name of the Achronim. And the Gemara wants to know, how do we know that Chayve Misa Shogigim up Turim, meaning this Kimlev the Rabbinane in the case of Rotzeach B'Shogig? So Tanit Bechizkia derives that from a hekesh between Maka Odom Maka Behema. So we're talking about a Rotzeach B'Shogig, Chayve Misa Shogigim. And the question is, let's establish Kimlev the Rabbinane simply based on the fact that the Goel Adam has Rishus to kill the Rotzeach. So in the case of Rotzeach B'Shogeg, since it's Ein Lo Domim, and the Goel Adam could put him to death, therefore the Rotzeach doesn't have to pay damages, and we apply the principle of Kimlev the Rabbinane. Elamai, it would seem that from the fact that the Gemara needs, Tana Lechizkia needs to come on to this Hekesh of Maka Behema, Maka Adam, Maka Behema, he doesn't derive it simply from the fact that the Goel Adam is Rishus to kill the Rotzeach. It means that there's no Kimlev the Rabbinane in a case of Rishus. There's only Kimlev the Rabbinane in a case of a mitzvah. And that's going to lead us to a problem with Rabbi Kivega, because he's applying Kimlev the Rabbinane in a case of Kanoim Pogimbo, which is only Rishus and not a mitzvah. Now, here at this point we introduce the famous principle of the Mishnah Melech, and we'll constantly come back to this principle of the Mishnah Melech. At the beginning of Hilchos Rotzeach, the Mishnah Melech establishes that in the case of the Goel Adam, if the Rotzeach himself turns around to defend himself against the Goel Adam, and he kills the Goel Adam, then he's not Chayiv Misa. And basically what you have here is you have a situation in which there's an equality, so to speak, an equation between the one who's allowed to kill the other one and the one who can be killed and now can turn around and defend himself. In both cases, there'll be a patur. If that be the case, then we can say that the reason why there's no Kimlev the Rabbinane in the case of Goel Adam is simply because the Rotzeach could turn around and kill the Goel Adam. If we apply that to the case of Kanoim Pogimbo, there won't be Kimlev the Rabbinane because the bow meaning the we'll call him the Zimri, he could turn around and kill the Kanoi, meaning Pinchas. And in that case, where there's an absolute equation between the two, and no one's going to be held responsible if they kill the other one, then we're not going to apply Kimlei B'Rabbinei. So let's take the case of the Gol Adam. In the case of the Gol Adam, he has Rishus to kill the Rotzeach. The Rotzeach, on the other hand, is allowed to defend himself, and if he kills the Rotzeach, and if he kills the Gol Adam, then he's not going to be put to death either. So in such a case, when we have that equilibrium, we're not going to apply Kimlei B'Rabbinei. That's not what we call Mischayev B'Nafsho. You can't say someone's Mischayev B'Nafsho and yet he can kill someone else and justify that because he's protecting himself if he's Mischayev B'Nafsho. Hence we completely suspend the principle of Kimlei B'Rabbinei, and if we apply that to the case of Pinchas and Zimri, once again we're going to have to suspend Kimlei B'Rabbinei because Pinchas could kill Zimri, but Zimri could turn around and kill Pinchas in self-defense. And all this seems to be a contradiction to Rabbi Kivega. So at the end of the paragraph that starts with the word V'efshar, he writes, V'ulam svarzu ena mevureres, so what if Zimri is allowed to kill Pinchas, or is Gol Adam, or the Rotzeach B'Shogeg is allowed to kill the Gol Adam? Amaylo neima shehe al kulam din kimlei B'Rabbinei. He says it's not exactly clear why this equilibrium would undermine the principle of kimlei B'Rabbinei. On the contrary, let's apply kimlei B'Rabbinei to both of them. Both of them are in a state of Ein Lo Domim, or sort of a quasi Mischayev B'Nafsho, meaning the Gol Adam, although he's allowed to kill the Rotzeach can kill the Gol Adam, and the Kanoim Pogumbo Pinchas is allowed to kill Zimri, but nevertheless Zimri's allowed to kill Pinchas. So let's apply Kimlei B'Rabbinei to both of them. So he says in the next paragraph, Kushizu Eina Kusha, Shekolz Mashlo Heidu Olav Eidim Shaharg B'Shogeg, Osir Afla Gol Adam Lahargo, Dafka B'Mezid, She Yischayev B'Bezdin, Al Yidei Maisa Zeh, Potur HaHargo, Avala Shogeg, She Eino Chayev B'Bezdin, Rak B'Shus B'Yad HaGol Adam Lahargo, Kolz Mashlo Heidu Olav Eidim Osir Lahargo, Mishmochi Yitzuch HaKesha, Titonu Dvei Chizkiyo. So he gives a justification for why we need the Hekesh of Tana Dvei Chizkiya, because in a scenario where the Edom have not yet testified in a Beis Din that this person killed B'Shogeg, then at that point the Gol Adam is not allowed to kill him. So there's no automatic, you know, we don't trigger off automatic with the Ritzicha B'Shogeg the halacha of Gol Adam. The Rishus B'Yad Gol Adam Lahargo applies only after Edim testified in front of Beis Din, and Beis Din decided with a verdict that this person is Rotzeach and he's Chayev. Chayev means he's Chayev in Golus, let's say, or he's given over to the hands of the Gol Adam to put him to death until he gets to, unless he stays in the Eir HaMikla. But Kol Zman Shelo Ha'idu Alav in the early stage, then Osur LaHargo, which is interesting. In other words, it's not automatically that when Reuven kills Shimon, Shimon's brother is allowed to kill Reuven. It's not triggered off immediately with the Maisa. We need Beis Din to step into the picture, accepting Eidus and then establishing that Reuven in fact killed Shimon B'Shogeg. But as long as Beis Din hasn't gotten to the point there was no any Eidus yet, then at that point there's no heter for the Gol Adam to kill him. And he finishes this discussion up by saying, Mishum Hachi Itzrich Hakesha Detana Dvei Chizkiya. So the last thing that we did on Thursday, and John, you weren't here on Thursday, was Number Mem Hei. So if you can look at that, we had a diuk from the Rama Mehilchus Gneva that Baba Machteres, although he's allowed to protect his property, and in so doing he may, if necessary, kill the Ganov, but nevertheless he's not obligated to kill the Ganov. It's not like a case of Rodev, where the Rambam says explicitly in Hilchas Ratzicha that anyone is obligated to kill the Rodev in order to, if necessary, to save the Nirdov. Not so in the case of Baba Machteres. Baba Machteres is only a Rishus. And this we emphasize back in the paragraph on Tzadi Dalid, Dibra Maskel Ulechora, that the Rambam in Hilchas Gneva, Perek Tes Halacha Zayin, says Rishus Lakol Lahargo. But he never writes that it's a mitzvah Lahargo. And yet, the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin on Daf Ayin Beis comes to the conclusion that Baba Machteres v'Shibur Kalim Potter, the Kimle of the Ramine. Here we see just the reverse, and maybe this was supported by Kivega, that in a case where Rishus Lahargo, there is a Chiv Mis of sorts, enough to trigger off the principle of Kimle of the Ramine. So that the Baba Machteres who breaks Kalim while he's burglarizing someone's house is Potter from the Shvirus Kalim because of the fact that Yesh Rishus Lahargo. Here we're not demanding a mitzvah. In fact, let's go a step further. Let's say the Ganov in self-defense would kill the person who's threatening his life, who's allowed to kill him because he's a Baba Machteres. In such a case, the Ganov would not be Chayav. And yet, there's a din of Kimleib the Rabbinay. So we see that this Sfarah, that since they're all equal here, you know, let's say in the case of Baba Machteres, the Balabais is equal to the Ganov, and each one could kill the other one, so to speak, in self-defense, then nevertheless we're going to apply the principle of Kimleib the Rabbinay, which would mean that in the case of Rotzeach B'Shogeg, where there's Rishus for the Gol Adam to kill the Rotzeach, and then the Rotzeach himself could kill the Gol Adam in self-defense, and therefore they're equal, we would still apply the principle of Kim Leibid Ramavinet. So you'll see at the end of this paragraph, he writes, Ulefizel Adasa Ramam, Gamba Machter Shehi Rishus, is Memele Eina Ganov Nerag Im Hargas Hamatzil. And therefore, we come to the conclusion that Hechash Rodef Hamatzil Yecholim Larog Zed Zeh Ein HaRodef Potur Mitashlumin. Now he's saying that there is no din of Kimle B'Derabinet. Now this bothers my mind tremendously. He had proven from a Gemara in Sanhedrin that we do apply the principle of Kimle B'Derabinet. And this kind of uki gavra b'chesk, you know, connected gavra, this equality that we're making, this, you know, this equation, that's not enough to remove Kim Leib the Rabine. And that's why in the next paragraph he admits, he says, L'svarazu gamba machteres lo tzarech li'os din Kim Leib the Rabine, because the Rishus goes both ways. The Rishus is on the Balabais to kill the Ganav, and yet the Rishus be'ad a Ganav la'arugas ha'matzil. And yet, and that's what he writes at the end of this paragraph, L'fi zeh, Mishnah mefureshesi b'Sanhedrin, that Baba Machteres v'shibra sakelim ein lo domim u'potter, that we apply the principle of Kim Leib the Rabbine. So it seemed to me that the bottom line here at the end of this paragraph of Lefiza, which I think should be emphasized and overemphasized, it can't be overemphasized, of course, it's really the overview of everything we've discussed now, is that despite the fact that Reuven can kill Shimon and Shimon can kill Reuven, nevertheless we will apply the principle of Kim Leib the Rabbine. So there's no mitzvah, there's only Rishus, and yet we will apply Kim Leib the Rabbine. And that's relevant, number one, to the case of Rabbi Kivega, that's called Kanoim Pogimbo, because Zimri can turn around and kill Pinchas. Number two, it's relevant to the case of Gol Adam, that the Rotzeach now will be potter from Kimle the Rabine, because there's no mitzvah on the Gol Adam to kill him. There's only Rishus, in which case the Rotzeach could defend himself and they're all equal. We're going to still apply the principle of Kimle the Rabine. And number three, in the case of Baba Machteres, where the Balabais could kill the Ganav, but the Ganav could defend himself and kill the Rotsech, and they're all kill the Balabais, and they're all equal, we're going to apply the principle of Kimlei V'Rabinin. This we know from the Mishnah in Bava Machteres. Hence, the bottom line is that we can accept Rabbi Kiva Eger and apply the principle of Kimlei V'Rabinin Kanoim Pogubo. This, despite the fact that it's only Rishus Lahargo and not a mitzvah, we still consider it as Mischayev Benafsha. Why? Because if he gets killed, no one is going to be held responsible for killing him. And this leads us to the paragraph that starts V'Ulam. And in this paragraph V'Ulam, he makes reference to a shut called Galia Masechta, which is quoted also, or at least a similar sheet in the Divrei Yechezkel. Yesh misha omer delo yitachin lomer sheganav lo yehoreg im horeges balabayis. Somebody breaks into someone's house and he kills the balabayis, and he's not going to be judged as a rotzeach. Hare atorah hitira domo. He's considered a rotzeach. How is it possible that if he not only burglarizes someone but kills his victim, the balabayis, he's not going to be killed for that? And the answer must be that Zimri's a different case, because of halacha v'ein morin kain in kanoim pogumo. But when there's halacha morin kain, where the Torah itself says have him killed, like in the case of machteres. So if you were to come into the rav's house and ask, what do you do with this bob machteres? The rav would say kill him. And in Gol Adam, if you ask the rav whether to kill the rotzech, he would say kill him. That's called yesh reshus lahargo v'halacha morin kain. And in those cases, for sure, if the Gol Adam or the Ganav would turn around and kill the Balbais or the Gol Adam, if the Rotzeach would turn around and kill the Gol Adam, or if the Bob Bakteris would turn around in self-defense and kill the Balbais, he'd be killed for that. He's a Rotzeach. So let's not take this too extreme. You know, we're getting a little bit, carried away with this kind of Uki Gavra Keneged Gavra Svara and assume that they're all equal because it's a Rishus. Then that's not really so. That's only so in the case of Kadoim Pogimbo, where we find explicit and the Rishonim expand upon it that the Torah allows the Zimri, I call him, to kill Pinchas in self defense. That's because it's a special, unique case of halacha. V'ein Morinka. That's the Ramah, the Yad Ramah in Masechta Sanhedrin. But in other cases where it's Halachu Morinka and it's Rishus Lahargo, then certainly he could not turn around and defend himself, and therefore we would say Mischayev Benafsho, and we would apply the principle of Kimlei V'Derabimineh. When Rabbi Kivega takes it a step further and he applies Kimlei V'Derabimineh to the case of Kanoim Pogimbo, That's already a question. You know, there you could see two sides of the coin. Is the bow, I call him, or the Zimri, is he called Mischayev Benafsho? But certainly the Rotzeach Peshogeg, once the Edom have accepted, or in the case of Bob Machteres, certainly he's called Mischayev Benafsho. Hence the Mishnah says the Bob Machteres is Potter on Shmiras Kalim. And then finally in this paragraph, the Ayin Bechidush Aran B'Sanhedrin, who limits this discussion to Zimri, that he's not going to be killed if he kills Pinchas, because Pinchas doesn't have the Rishus of Bezdin, it's Halach of Ein Morin Kain. That's not similar to a case of a Rodef, where if the Rodef is Lahatzil, right? So again, there are two Rodefim here. There's a Rodef, there's a Rodef who's running after someone, pursuing someone to kill him, and then there's a Rodef Lahatzil. Why does he call it the Rodef Lahatzil? Because it's not the Nirdof. The Nirdof is just simply a fugitive. He's running for his life. He's fleeing for his life. But there's a third party who's the Rodef Lahatzil. He's the Rodef of the Rodef on behalf of the Nirdof. In such a case, in Nepach V'Hargo, if the Rodef turns around and kills the Rodef, meaning the Rodef Lahatzil, Vaday Nera Golov. And that's called Rodei Pirshus Bezdin. And once he's a Rodei Pirshus Bezdin, Lahatzil San Nirdaf, by killing the Rodev, the Nirdaf is now considered a Mischayv Benafsho. And he doesn't have rights to turn around and kill the Rodev Lahatzil. And therefore, if we get to the case of Baal Akusis, Ein Kanoim Pogimbo, Kidei Lahatzilo Mina Vera, Shekvar Nidbak Ba, Elasos Po Nakoma, Rabola Harga Chashkin Lahargo, Bechol Shein Machuiv Mises Bezdin Bidovar. So this is the Chiddush here of the Divrei Yecheskel. He wants to suggest that in the case of Baal Akusis, the purpose of Kanoim Pogimbo is not Kidei Latzilo Min Avera, because he's already Nidbak Ba. The Halacha of Kanoim Pogimbo only applies during that five-minute interval when they're involved in an action of Be'ila. So the Hatzilo Min Avera doesn't apply here. The whole purpose of Kanoim Pogimbo is what we call Lasos Bo Nekama. This is a kind of a Kiddush Hashem that we're meeting out a punishment to him because of his dastardly public nature of Vera. And Abo Lahargecha Hashkem Lahargo, if it's not that he's being saved from an Avera, but rather it's some sort of Divrei Nekama, then he, meaning Zimri, can turn around and kill Pinchas under the law of Habola Harg Hashkim Lahargo. He's not called a Mechuy of Misa. And if that be the case, again, we're rejecting Rabbi Kivega. Rabbi Kivega will apply to the case of a Nirdaf who is killing the Rodev. Just one second. So we're saying the following: that in the case where the Nirdaf turns around and he kills the Rodef Lahatzil, in such a case he bechayv Misa, and therefore we could apply the principle of Kim Levi the Rabbi when he's running after the Rodef Lahatzil to try to, so to speak, defend himself, because if he will kill the Rodef Lahatzil, Vade Nera Golov. So that's a real Mechuy of Misa. And in such a case, we would apply the principle of Kim Lebe the Rabamine. But not so in the case of Kanoim Pogimbo, where he doesn't have the Rishus of Bezdin, and he, the Nirdav, can turn around and kill the Rodef. Here we're going to say that there's no principle of Kim Lebe the Rabamine. So that we're left with an issue here. This remains an outstanding issue as to whether or not we accept Rabbi Kivega. So now, Rabbosai, we're going to start the shiur for today, which means a new part of the sugya. I don't know where Yosef is. He's usually here.
He's usually
here. Yeah, I don't know. So now we're going to take a look at a line in Tosfos that we haven't seen yet, and that's going to be the focal point of our discussion for the balance of today's sugya. Tosfos Divrei HaMaskev El Akusis, we're on Chavtes Amud Aleph, and if you go down, I guess we would say almost halfway through the Tosfos, V'im Tomar Im Kein Maiko Mashmal Pshita D'Yesh La Knas D'Yisraelis Gmurahi V'Yesh Loma D'Salkadayt D'Lo Yavina La Knas Shlo Yitamu Bahen. So Tosfos here has a Shakla V'Tario about the Havamina that Yeshla, that Ein Lo Knas, that the Mishnah felt compelled to teach us that Yeshla Knas, and that's a Shakavitari within the framework of the Shitas Baliatosvis that Geri Emes Heim. This would not be a kash, obviously, according to Rashi, who holds Geri Arayas Heim. Anyway, Tosfos answers this question that we would have had a Havamina. Because even if they're Geri Arai, even if I assume they're Geri Emes, they are still sort of communally mixed up with some some non-Jewish people like Shvachos and so forth and so on, and maybe we wouldn't give them knas. But that's not really where we want to start today. Let's start today from the next Vim Tomar. And here he quotes a Gemara in Asor Yuchsin. Tosa says the following: L'mad yomer v'perk Asor Yuchsin dipsul kusim mishum di eved v'shifcha nitma'u bohen. So there's a new halacha in Yuchsin that we're not allowed to marry a kusi or a kusis, because what happened is, with regard to the community of Kusim, there were non-Jews who mixed in with this community, an Eved or a Shivcha. So Tosfos now asks the following question: if we accept that Man D'Omar, how is he going to sustain our Mishnah, which says that we give Knas to this Kusis, when in truth she might be a Shivcha, which is a non-Jew, because there was Shvachos that married into the Kusis family. And now Tosa says the following: even if I grant you that Rove tells me that she's a Kusis and not a Shivcha, and we're going again according to the Man D'Omar, who says that the Gerus of the Kusim was a full-fledged valid Gerus, but maybe now this woman is a Shivcha, or the child of a Shivcha, is a my Yeshla Knas. You can tell me Rove, but namely, I see Raya Delav Shivcha Ushkili. When can you collect this Knas? That's only after you prove and establish beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're not a Shivcha. And all this, says Tosfos, is based on the principle of Shmuel and Masechta Bava Kama, Ein Holchu B'Momen Achar Rov. So, for example, if you sell me a kad, but you deliver me a chavis, and most people call a kad by one name and a chavis by another name, I cannot claim that I bought a kad and you delivered a chavis, and I'm out of here. You know, it's a Mekach Tolos, because the law is that Ein Holchu B'Momen Achar Rov. And the Mocher has a right to say that there is a, shall we say, a representation of the population that calls a Chavis by the name Kad, and Kad Chavis, they're interchangeable terms. So when you agreed that I would sell you a Kad, I could give you just as well, I could give you a Chavis. Because now it's the Lokeach, the buyer, who is being motzi from the Mocher. Why? Because the mocher is holding on to his money, and the lokeach wants to get his money back. In such a case, ein olchu b'momen achar rov. The lokeach cannot demand his money back just based on the fact that most people call a kad and a chavis as two separate entities. Here too, what could she say? She said, pay me a knas, because I belong to the rov. I'm a kusis. I'm not a shivcha. Well, you have to prove that in front of a bezdin, because ein holchu b'momen achar rov. That's the kasha of Tosfos. Now, in order to sharpen up this kasha, Tosfos says the following, but maybe you'll quote Rav. Rav in Masechta Bava Kama holds that it is a mekach tos. Why? Because he can rely on rov and prove that a kad is a kad and a chavis is a chavis. They're not interchangeable. And therefore he can force the mocher to cough up his money and return it to him. Says Tosa, afilu l'rav, even if you hold that holchim b'momen achar rov, that you can collect money from someone else based on a rov. Here in the case of a baal akusis, there's no rov. Why is there no rov? It's very possible that he went to her, and if he went to her, she is kavua, and kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzadami. Now, honestly, I don't understand, just for the record, what he writes here in the Masifta. He writes, the Ozel Iu Hakusi Gabod Shivcha, Vashivcha lo Pirsha Bimkoma, Vahavile Ashivcha de Gede Kavua, the Kol Kavua Kamechzal Moksavi and Kanro.
in Ken Gamla Shitas Rab, Ein Akusis Yechol Lahotzi Aknas Me Ama'anes, Do Adayin Yechol Huliton, I see right the high Shivcha Parsha Mimkoma. So I'm not exactly sure why Tosis, according to the interpretation of the Masifta, is talking about Baal HaShivcha. We're talking about Baal HaKusis. And here he says, Ozel HaKusi Gavad HaShivcha. Maybe he's going back to the original admixture here. What happens? The Shivcha was Nitma. You know, she somehow got mixed up in the family. So we're now going to apply the principle of Rov. Says Tosis, even Rav would agree there's no Rov over here. Why is there no Rov? Because, let's say, we want to know about the child of a relationship between the Kusi and a woman who might be a Shivcha. So if he had a relationship with her and she might be a Shivcha, then that's called Kol Kavua Kemechts Al Mechtsendam. You can't apply the principle of Rov, because she is Kavua Bimkoma. And if she's a Sofik Shivcha, then we have to assume Kemechts Al Mechtsendam, hence the child of this marriage is going to be an Eved if it's a male, or a Shivcha if it's a female. In other words, let's say the child of this relationship is a female. She has to prove that she's not a Shivcha, meaning that her mother's not a Shivcha. And she can't prove that because if we assume that the Kusi was Baalea in this admixture, then Kol Kavua Kemechts Al Mechtsendam. How are you going to prove that your mother is not a Shivcha? If there's a possibility of her being a Shivcha, then it's Kol Kavua Kemechts Al Mechtsendam. Let me read it just one more time. He says, Ozel Akusi Gaboda Shivcha, Vashivcha Lo Parsha Mimkoma, Imkein Havile Ashivcha Begeder Kavu Kol Kavuka V'Einkan Rov. I don't know, what do you mean Einkan Rov over here? If the Kusi had a relationship with a Shivcha, so we know that the child is the child of a Shivcha. In Kein Gamla Shitas Rav, Ein Akusis Yechola Lahotzi Aknas Me'ama Anes, Doha Adayin Yochol Huliton, Aisi Raya Dehai Shivcha Parsha Mimkoma, Ubazeh Nelef Basa Ruba, Olam Kemen Di Ein At Yechola Viraya Di Omnom Kenoya Masa, as I beget a Sveka At, who Sveka, and we Sveka Lo Mafkinon Momona. So you prove that this Shivcha was Parsha Mimkoma. Again, I think it only makes sense if we cannot identify this woman. We don't know if she's a Shivcha. Now, if the Shivcha was Kavua Bimkoma, which means the Suffolk Shivcha was Kavua Bimkoma, even if the Rove would tell you that she's not a Shivcha, but nevertheless called Kavua Kemetz HaMechzadam because she's Kavua Bimkoma, that I think is the Kash of Tosfos. So before we see the answer of Tosfos, let's take a look at Mem Vav, which is on the bottom right of page Tzadi Vav. Now let me give a little bit of an introduction to number Mem Vav. There are many situations where, of Suffolk, where there's an overlap between certain dinim and mamonos. When I say certain dinim, what I mean is dinim that are nogeh to iser veheter. Now, in a case of ein holchim b'mamon achar rov, which is true according to Shmuel, and even Rav would agree that we can't use a rov in a case of kavua, which is kevechts al mechzadami, what if there's an overlap of that dinim mamonos with iser veheter? For example, let's say we find that Reuven's shar killed Shimon's shar. So you may raise the possibility that Shimon's shar
is a treifa. Now, if Shimon Shar is a treifa, there are two dinim. Number one, in dini momenos, you cannot force Reuven to pay damages to Shimon because Reuven's shar killed Shimon's treifa. Number two, the meat of this animal becomes osav achila because of the din of treifa. We have a principle that rove animals are healthy; they're not treifas. Once we define the animal as being kosher as far as the dini isra achilus treifa is concerned, and that's based on rove, then memela, it has an implication as far as dini mominus is concerned. So we don't begin with dini mominus, but rather we end with dini mominus. Let's take another case.
Where does the mominus get in here? That's a little confusing.
Well, if Reuven's shar kills Shimon's shar, then Reuven has to pay damages.
So I understand that. How does that impact on this Mishnah?
On the Mishnah of what? Our Mishnah of Kusis? Yeah, because the Ma'anis is being penalized to pay a knas based on the fact that this girl is a Kusis, but maybe she's a Shivcha. So how can he pay this girl up? And if she wants to prove that she's not a Shivcha, she's going to have to fall back on a rove. But the only problem is that rove is in Dini Mominos, meaning she now wants to sue the Ma'anis for paying the knas. He's a muhsak, and we have a principle of motzi mechavel of a raya. And according to Shmuel, her robe is not a raya. Even if there's a robe that would be machria that she is a kusis and therefore she gets knas and not a shivcha, nevertheless we have a principle ein ol kamo menachar robe. That was Tosfos kasha, and even according to Shmuel. I'm sorry, even according to Rav, who does rely on Rav Lotzi Momon, but here's a case of Kavua, and it's Kemechtel Mechtzudon. But we don't understand, because this case of Bala Kusis, where we have to determine if she's a Kusis or a Shivcha, that determination has to be made regardless or independent of Momon, of the Knas. Forget about the Knas. Let's say there was no onus over here. We want to know the status of this girl. What's her status? Can somebody marry her? Can he not marry her? Do we consider her as a bas gerim? Do we consider her as possibly a shivcha? She's a non-Jewish woman. How do we deal with that? And the answer is, we're going to deal with it based on rov. And the rov is going to be machria the safe, and going to set this girl up as a kusis, meaning she's part of the kahal of Yisrael. Take, for example, the Gemara has something called an asufi. It's a child that you find in the streets. He was abandoned by his parents. So we don't know what the status of this child is. Is it a non-Jewish child or a Jewish child? So the answer is, it all depends on rov. If rov ha'ir Yisraelu, if most of the city is made up of Jewish people, that's going to be a machria as far as this tinok is concerned. And we're going to establish the personal status of the tinok as that of a Jew. Why? Because that's lina basar ruba. So take, for example, if we want to know whether we have to support this child, take money out of the communal funds, that's called lafyosa, we're going to have to base ourselves on rov, because we've already established the Jewish status of this child based on rov. Now we fly with it. It's going to have implications as far as lachyoso is concerned, in other words, whether or not the Jewish community would have to support this child if the child is poverty stricken. It'll have a tremendous impact on the laws of Ritzicha, because if somebody kills this child, he's going to be nera. We will kill him based on the rov. Or, for example, if you would ask about this child whether he's chayav the mitzvahs, the answer is Aslina Basar Ruba, and it's a city of mostly Jewish population, and therefore we'd assume that the child is Jewish. If somebody kills him, he'll be put to death for murder. Another nafkamina would be Le'inyan Chiyuv Mitzvahs, that this child is chayiv in all mitzvahs. Le'inyan Shlichus V'Kiddushin, you send the child as a shliach. But now, let's ask the following question. What is the status of the ox of this child if it's gored by a Jewish ox? If you follow my... Well, the mazik is going to say, I'm not going to pay you damages. Prove that you're a Jew. So you can tell me, well, you have a robe because robe of the ear is Jewish. That's wonderful, but ain't all from a mamon achar robe. You want me to pay you damages for your shor, will prove that you, as the owner of the shor, are in fact Jewish. So the answer is, we're going to rely on Rove. Why do we rely on Rove? Ein holchum amon mechar Rove. The answer is that we as the Rove are ir Yisraelim in order to paskin that this Tinok is a Ben Yisrael, a Bas Yisrael. Once we've done so, now you have to pay damages under the law of Nezikim. We're not going to say, well, ain't holchum b'momen achar ro. So again, what you see here is that there are two determinations. One determination as far as the personal status of this tino, le'inyan mitzvahs, le'inyan shlichus, le'inyan hargoch, neragolov, lachyoso, all these nafkaminas, because we determine, based on rov, that this is, in fact, a Jewish child. Rov of the city is Jewish. Now, you want to know, can we force someone to pay this child money within the context of the Zikim? And the answer is, we've already passed it on this child. This child is a Jewish child. You're not going to apply the principle Ein Holchum Mamon Achar Rov. We've already made a determination in Dinei Iser V'Heter. As far as all these nafkaminas that we mentioned, lachyoso and mitzvahs and shlichus and so forth, we've already determined that the child is a Jew. So once the rove operates with regard to a certain area of halach, and here it's a very broad area of halach, that's no get to dini erva, to dini isa v'heta, and so forth and so on, then memela, the spin-off of that definitive ruling is going to be that we have to pay damages. We're going to have to pay the Baal HaShor damages if we damage his shore. He's from the Miut, and maybe he's not a Jew. No, we're over here in Israel. And we've already passed in with regard to every other law. He's Mamela as far as Dini Mamonis. It's just a Paul Yotze. And if that be the case, then we don't understand Tosis' Kasha. And here I'd like you to fast forward to the top left column, which is the Hemshech of this paragraph that we've been studying. In the last three lines, it says, in Kate Sarkin, my Kushalahu. What is Tosis' question here? Neima, Kavan, Neima Nami, the Kavan das Lina Basaruba. Le'inyan tfisas kiddushin b'hem u'lechol mili di Yisrael is as leading gam be'inyan mamin basa ruba di shifai. What is Tosis batting about over here? The whole kasha Tosis doesn't get off the ground. We're going to say as leading basa ruba as far as so many different dinim are concerned. Is this kusis, a genuine kusis? Can we embrace this kusis as part of the Jewish mishpacha, as far as Tfisas Kiddushin is concerned? Once we determine, based on Rove, that this kusis is a bona fide kusis, a gioris, she's not from the non-Jewish population. So once we've established, based on Rove, then we're going to apply that Rove even to Dini Mamonos. Because we've already determined that she's not a shivcha. And Memela, if she's not a shivcha, then she's a genuine bona fide kusis and she deserves payment. So I would call it rov l'inyan echad, chal gam l'inyan mamon. That's the migu over here. Migu, once you've established that this person is Jewish based on a rove, then you can already apply that to Dini Mamonos because it's already Oiska Paskin on this woman that she's a kusis and not a shivcha. And that we paskin based on many dinim of rov that apply to isur v'het. Now we're going to just imply the natural repercussion of this ruling is that even as far as dinei mamonis is concerned, when we get over to kosher mishpat, we still are going to apply the principle of rov, and even Shmuel would accept rov in this case. So again, just to summarize, Tosis' question is very difficult. Tosis thinks that she would have the burden of proof to establish she's a kusis and not a shivcha. The answer is no. We don't need any burden of proof. We're operating within the framework of rov, and that's good enough. And what gives us the right to establish al pi rov against the muksa pi mamon to force him to cough up the knas? The answer is because we've paskined on the status of this child or this person that they are Jewish based on rov, and that's relevant to a whole myriad of issues in halacha. Is mamela we apply that determination to dinei mamonis as well. And this is very reminiscent of the Pnei Yoshua that I mentioned many times here. In the case of Bari V'Shemo, Lav Bari Adiv, what about Safek Doraisa? But the answer is that if we've determined by the Kloli Mamon that Lav Bari Adiv, then there's no Safek Doraisa to force him to pay up because of Gzela. Again, it's always the overlap of two different areas, and if we can come to one definite conclusion in one area, then we can apply it to the other area. But now let's talk about Kavua. Oh, wait a second. We skipped the Chassam Sofer. Now, the Chassam Sofer adds another twist here which might help us with this Tosfos, to understand why Tosfos thinks that she should not be able to collect Knas because Eina Holkim V'Momen Achar Rov. The Chassam Sofer wants to differentiate between two scenarios. In one, we will go Basar Rov, and in the other, we will not. And he says the following: it all depends upon whether Bezdin has already issued a verdict on the status of this person, even before we got into the issue of Ma'ane Sumafate and so forth. Once Bezdin has made a hachra with a valid decision that, based on Rov, we're going to say the child is Jewish, that's only going to have an impact mikano lahava on any suffix that might come up about the status of the child, even in dini mamonos. But that's only, again, because we've already issued a verdict that this child is Jewish. Let's read it inside. He says the following: Lo amrinan ein holchem amanachar rov el bameshan uboim ladin olav ata b'tchila. When does Shmuel say Ein holchem amanachar rov? That's when we're coming with a fresh start to adjudicate, to decide, and now we have a rov. Avol im kvar hechlatnu shezeh b'no shel zeh v'chayotzi b'machmas a rov v'terem yovol lefanenu is as lina basa rov gamli yin mama then kain shapi hikshu atosus the hachalo chlatnu adayin shezum in a rov she'ena shivcha. Where did you get out of this? Do you want to try to summarize this beautiful, beautiful piece from the Chassam Sofer?
What he's saying is that the Amboros Adin, that's a determining factor as to whether this is or is not a Jewish person.
In other words, Bezdin has to activate the rov, and only after Bezdin activates the rov and issues a verdict, then that rov could have application and implication as far as Mammon is concerned. Tosis is talking about our situation of Baal HaKusis. We've never yet confronted this Kusis and in Bezdin in order to determine the status of the Kusis. So we've never actually activated the role. You know, right now, our situation is she may be a Kusis, she may be a Shivcha, we don't know. There may be Chumris and Yuchzin, we were going to say stay away from this girl because she might be a shivcha. Is Mamela and Mamon, we're going to apply Shmuel's principle that Mamon doesn't, Rov doesn't help me in Mamon. Ain't holchim in Mamon achar Rov. Why? Because we haven't yet gotten to the point where we made a verdict, we made a decision on this girl based on Rov. Ain't achinami. Once we've issued a verdict based on Rov, then everything flies. Everything, all the nafkaminas will apply. You've determined that this child is Jewish based on a Rov, then we've issued the psak and all the nafkaminas, you know, are mamela thereby. But if we've never actually decided on this isha, she's coming to us only in the context of Rov to decide whether she has a right to collect the knas or not, then we're going to certainly apply the principle ein hol kamom nachar Rov. There's something very fascinating about this Chasam Sofer. I understand that in certain cases you need a yediyah in order for the Achras HaSofik to take place. For example, there's a famous sheet of the Ran, maybe we'll get to it, that there's no din of Kavul Mafreya. Or there's a Rashba about Bittul Barov, that we only apply Bittul Barov if you knew about it. If you knew that there was a Rov, then you apply the Rov. That's in Dine Bittul. But here, we're not talking about Dine Bittul, we're talking about the personal status of an individual. I mean, even if Bezdin has never addressed the question of this Kusis and what her status is, she herself, by her very existence, you know, begs us to determine our status. I don't know if we need to apply the Rov in a Bezdin in a situation where the suffix arises in order to say that she, based on Rov, is Jewish. She's Jewish because she's born as a Kusis. Now you want to tell me, but maybe she's really a Shivcha. There's a Rov. I don't know if I have to actively paskin on this Rov in order to decide her status as a Jewess. But that's the assumption of the Chasam Sofer. Therefore, he explains how it Tosfos, that Tosfos is saying that we cannot apply this Rov, right? We cannot apply this Rov because Ein Holchim Mamon Achar Rov, we have never yet confronted this particular issue and come to any decision. You know, if not for the Chasam Sofer, intuitively I would have said, you know, personal status is something that's determined male. I don't need Bezdin for that, you know. She herself is crying out, well, what's my status? Even before she gets to Bezdin, and here we're going to apply Rov. He's saying, some sort of a name, this Rov has got to be activated by Bezdin, and that only applies when the question comes up in front of Bezdin. And since the question never came up, it's all a matter of Knas, is we have a principle in Ol Kavom and Acharo. In any event, how does Tosfos at the end of the day justify that we can force him to pay the knas? And Tosfos is going to say that there's something called a cheskas avasa, and that cheskas avasa is going to team up with the rov and establish beyond the shadow of a doubt that she is a kusis and not a shivcha. So that's, we're going to get to cheskas avasa. But before we get to cheskas avasa, which is Tosfos' final answer, let's talk about his discussion about kavua. Tosfos says that even according to Rav, who would rely on Rov, and that would justify our Mishnah that she collects her knas, she meaning the Kusis. Nevertheless, no. Says Tosfos, I don't understand. Even according to Rav of Holchem Mamon Achar Rov, he would also agree in this case that she cannot collect knas. Why? Because it's not a Rov, but rather it's Mechza Mechza. What makes it into Mechza Mechza? So Tosfos says there's a principle called Kol Kavua Kemechza al mechza domi. So this leads us to Osmem Mem Vav. And he says the following. I'm sorry, Mem Zayin, I meant to say. Tosis in Chulin on Daf Tzadihei of an Aleph has the opinion that Kavua, at least on a Doraisa level, only applies when it's Nikar Ha'isa Bimkoma. Like, for example, if you have 9 stores, 9 butcher shops, and you have a 10th, 9 are selling kosher meat, but 1 is selling non-kosher meat, so I'm going to say, Kol Kavua Kemech Tzal Mech Tzadami, because this non-kosher store is Kavua Bimkomo, it's Nika Bimkomo, we can see it, we can identify it, and that is going to be called Kavua Kemech Tzal Mech Tzadami. So the Kavua, the Iser, is clear, and it's Nika Biduchte. But let's say there's a Taroves, and there's no Nikara Iser. Right, all of Yoredei Chelek Aleph is built on Taroves. I look at this mixture, I can't tell you where the Iser is. It fell in, and yet there's a din of bittul. We're not going to say Kol Kavua Kemech Tzal Mech Tzadami in this case. We're going to say that there's a din of bittul. And every time I put my hand into this Taroves and I take out something, I assume it came from the robe. And Tosus writes that we can only say Kavua when I can point to the Kavua and I see it in front of me and it's Nikara Isur. In the case, however, that we're addressing, where's the Nikara Isur? We don't know where the Shvachos are. Can you point to the Shvachos and say, oh, there they are? You know, we're just, you know, some Shivcha snuck into the family somehow and we don't have records to track it down. But it's not Nika Bimkoma. Well, nobody can recognize where the rove is or where the kavua is, I should say. He writes, Heicha Shema Urov, V'eino Nikar, Lohavi Kavua. So again, according to Tosus, the precondition for kavua is called what? Nikar Ha'isur Bimkoma. It's identifiable. If there's a taroves and there's no nikara iser, then at least on a derice level, we're going to apply the din of bittul. We're not going to apply the din of kol kavua kemetz al mefza. And bittul is based on rov. The Gemara has in the Masechta Zvachim a case of 2 different types of chatos that got mixed up. One is a chatos that is meant to be designated as a korban and brought on the mizbech. The other is what's called chatos hamesos. And now we have a mixture of those chatos that are kosher mizbech with those chatos who aren't kosher mizbech. We're going to apply the principle of rov. We're not going to say kavua, even though again animals are usually kavua b'mkoma. I mean, there is a mitzvah of an animal on the move, but classically the animal is he's wherever he has to be. So in this case, the Gemara says that we're going to apply the principle of rov. Let me just see. He says, chatos hamesos. Alright, then he has shor niskal. Bizvachim psherim. Are we allowed to apply the principle of called the parish Meruba parish? So the Gemara establishes, no, not what I told you before, that you cannot use called the parish Meruba parish because this is a case of kavua. Ikaratam einu mishum kavua el mishum de balechov lo batli kmo darvar shedarko limnos, and that's only a didrabon. So Tosis goes on record. He's committed to the following position, that whenever you see kol kavua kemech tzal mech tzedomi, you could assume it's the Rabbanon until you can tell me, well, it's nikara isur b'mkomo. So we have a taroves of chatos hamesos with chatos haksheros, or shor niskal with other zvachim that are kosher. Here we would apply the principle of rov. Why? Because there's no Nikara Isur B'mkomo. I got a Mishka Babel, I have a Taroves, I have all sorts of animals inside. So in such a case, Tosa says, I can take one out of the bunch and apply the principle called Diparish Miruva Parish. Correct? Says Tosus, name. We have a Drabbanan problem. What's the Drabbanan problem? That it's Kavua. That's only Drabbanan. Why? Because there's no Nikar Isur and Komo. I can't identify where the Isur is. There's a whole Tyrovis here of Chatos HaMesos, Shai Niskam Uzvachim Ksherim. Once there's a Tyrovis, then the Rabbanan suspended the operation of Rav, called the Parish Meruba Parish. Because the Rabbanan say that we're not going to apply the principle of Bittul. Why don't we apply the principle of Bittul? Balchaylo Batel. If you have something that's in Birya, something's alive and well, you have Chatos HaMesos, Ashar Niskal, then we say that we cannot apply the principle of Bittul. All that is the Rabbanan. Don't think for a moment that we're going to apply Kol Kavua here on a Doraisa level. Because on a Doraisa level, you need Nikar Ha'isa Mimkoa, and that we don't have. So he says at the end of this paragraph, Al Kain, Dulehevi Kavua Doraisa Kamri, Al Kochach, I should say, Dulehevi Kavua Doraisa Kamri, Lefocho Miknas. Ein Ha'isur, Dain Vashivcha Yadu Mimkoa. The Tosa is asking Kavua, and therefore she should not be able to collect the Knas. What kind of Kavua is here? There's no Nikara Isur from Komo. If there's no Nikara Isur, it's not Kavua. Because the prerequisite according to Tosus for Kavua is Nikara Isur from Komo. Now, how does he know here? He's quoting the Chazon Ish. How do they know that we're talking about Kavua Doraisa? Maybe we're talking about Kavua Drabbana. But the answer is we're talking about Knas. Knas is Doraisa. We want to know whether he has to pay Knas or he doesn't have to pay Knas. And our Mishnah establishes that he does have to pay Knas. That has to be a Doraisa Allah. But how can it be a Doraisa Allah? In other words, can you apply Kavua Doraisa to tell me, well, he doesn't have to pay Knas? And the Torah says he doesn't have to pay Knas, because Kemechtz al Mechtzendom. For that I need Nikar Isur. And if I don't have Nikar Isur, at best I can say it's also because I'm Afkir Bittul Min Rabbanu. But to say that on a Doraisa level, there's no Rov over here, and it's Kavua, why is that so? We need Nikar Isur Bimkom. That's his kasha. Now, for the balance of this essay, which goes on from Memches to Memtes, Nun, Nun Aleph, he's going to discuss this issue about when do you apply Kavua Doraisa, and do you have this prerequisite, this precondition, that it's only going to be Kavua Doraisa if it's Nikara Isa Bimkom. That's what he's going to try to analyze for the balance of this essay. So the first round here is a machlokas between the Ran in Chulin and the Ran in a few other places and Tosus. Because we began here with the Tosus in Chulin, who says that the precondition for Kavua Doraisa is Nikara Isur Mimkom. That's not necessarily the sheet of Tosfos in other places. And this issue comes up in many different areas in Shas. So the one who analyzes this in great depth is Rav Shimon Shkup in Shari Yosher, which you'll see noted here on page Tzadi Zayin. What does the Ran say? V'im tomar v'ahi tarobes kevon she'eno isa yadua hechi karina le'kavua. He says that if you're going to tell me that there's halach of kavua, unrestricted, even in a case where there's eino isa yadua b'mkomo, then you're undermining the entire enterprise of bittul. Ein l'cha isa she'e batul yola. Because when you look at the Tarovis, you see something that's kavua. Nothing's on the move. Nothing's in motion. Everything is static. Says the Ran, Yesh lomad b'chol ha'isurim v'adai kol shema'ura v'eino yedua lo mikri kavua. The Adrad Barugo Batal, the Torah says this halacha of a tarovis and a bitul barov. Why not say kavua? There's no bitul, there's no rov. The answer is because it's eino isur nikar b'mkomo. It's a tarovis. Now, certainly, as we get closer to our case of a shivcha that got mixed up in a family of kusios, certainly it's ein. You know, it's a tarovis. It's ein aisa nikar b'mkomo. You know, maybe a few generations back we knew who the shivcha was, but today we can't even trace it back. So therefore, we should apply the principle of rov, of bitul rov. We should not be applying the principle of kol kavua k'matzel mesa. The Ran is certainly against our tosis, hearing suits. So the Ran's language is lo mikri kavua adarab beruba batel. The kevachum is batel efshal aduna ki kavua. Notice once tarovis is generated, immediately it's batel, and you can't talk about kavua. There's nothing to talk about kavua. Oh, but what about the case of a mixture of chatos mesos or shor niskal together with other karbonos, with other behemos? And there the Gemara says that we can apply the principle of kol kavua kemechtzal mechtzedomi. He says that's because balei chayim chashivi v'lo b'teili, that we cannot apply the principle of bitul in the case of balei chayim. The kemen d'lo batli havilei kavua. By the way, why is it that balei chayim chashivi v'lo b'teili? In other words, bitul applies when you can nullify, so to speak, the identity of an object. That's the purpose of bitul. But a bal chai, insofar as it's a live being, a live creature, never loses its identity. I remember after I spent a year learning with Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zichron Levracha, and I was leaving back to America, he was obviously concerned because the influences in America wasn't Yerushalayim or HaKodesh. See, I'll never forget this. He said to me, there's halacha that a bal chai is lo batel. And you have the chashivas now, so you'll never be batel. You'll never be swept away and lose your identity. So that whole halacha of bal chai lo batel is only derabbanan. And that makes it kavua midrabbanan. Because in order to generate kavua d'oraisa, you would need nikara isur. And that's why you would suspend rope. But here, in the case of balei chayim, they got mixed in one with the other. There's no nikara isur b'mkomo. All the animals look identical. And therefore you cannot apply the principle of kavua d'oraisa. You know, the classic case of kavua d'oraisa would be teisha chanuyos, as we said at the outset. You can point to the store that's selling trade for meat. But here you have all these animals that are mixed up, Roshar Niskal, Chatos Mesos, whatever it is, that's lo nikara isur b'mkomo. Elo what? The Rabbanan say we're not going to apply bitul because balei chayim are not batel. Now at the end of this paragraph, he says, "Avol yesh bo din hama'akva milispatu meisit hamshiyav le kavua," even if it's not nikar, but that kavua is only the Rabbanan. Ulefizeh Dover sheyesh lo matirim gam ke nechshav kavua kevon de mikol makom lo bata. To add to this list, you have balei chayim on the list. You know, you could add dover sheb minyan, dover sheb mida, dover shel tam. You know, the different cases relative to different areas where you'd say there's chashivas and there's no bitul. You could add to this list the dover sheyesh lo matirim. Even though, again, in the case of Dabashay Shavatim, we don't see a special chashivas here to say it's not batel. But the answer is here it's not bottle for a whole nother reason, because the Dovah Sheish Matir. But once it's not bottle, then the Mela we go back to the din of Kavua. But that's only Durabbanan. If it's Eina Isur Nikar Bimkoma. So all these sugyas, according to the Ran in Shas, where you find that something is not bottle, and therefore it's Kavua, those are all Durabbanans. The whole King Kavuta. The only Doraisa Kavua is if it's Isur Nikar Bimkoma. Now we get to the second Shita. And that's the Shita Tosus. Tosus is referred to here in the paragraph that starts for you, Lam. And he writes the following, Ika atam eno mishum kavua, el mishum de balachayim lo bato. In other words, Tosus is saying that there's a conflict between bittul and kavua. How can you apply bittul when it's kavua? And if we can't overcome that contradiction, that conflict, then it'll be bittul. But if we can suspend the din of bittul, then immediately we go back to the din of kavua. Ein atam yishud lo bittul chazulios kavua ela mashu dover chashiv chashivusa oso sol kavua. So again, what he's saying is that if there's no bittul, even though I don't know where it is in this tarovus, it's called kavu kemetz al mesedom, and that apparently is a doraisa alavur. So Tosus, at least in one place in Shas, we'll see a whole list of Tosus later on, maintains that you could have a din of kavua, even if it's ein mikar, as long as we nullify, or what word am I looking for? As long as we neutralize rov. I'm sorry, starting in. As long as we neutralize bittul. Once we neutralize bittul, for whatever reasons, X, Y, Z, then Mimela, it's called Kavua Kemetzal Mechsedom. It all seems to assume that that's a Doraisa Allah. So again, whereas the Ran is saying it's not Kavua unless it's Nikar Isa. And in the case of Lo Nikar Isa, we're going to apply Bittul unless there's something Durabana that holds us up from Bittul. Tosus is not willing to take that position that you need Nikar Isa. Tosus is going to say that there's a conflict between Bittul and Kavua, and if you apply Bittul, then there's no din of Kavua. If you do not apply Bittul, then Memel it's Kavua, and that's a Doraisa Allah. And that leads us to Os Mem Tes. Vahashi Yesh Lion. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. He says the following. Now, based on what we've said with the Ran and Tosus, let's get into the final issue, and that is you have a tarovus of anoshim. You have human beings that are mixed up, right? We have a shivcha mixed up with a kusis, and is eino isa nikar bimkoma. Is there kavua doraisa or is not? Again, in order to generate knas, we need kavua doraisa. I'm sorry. In order to remove knas, right? To remove knas, the mafkia knas, we need a kavua doraisa. He says the following: Tosus in Zvachim, in a case of a taroves of niskolim v'nisrofim. Right, so we're talking about human beings that have been condemned to death, and there's a misa chamura which is called srefa, and there's a misa kal which is called skila. Even if rov in this tarovus on nisrofim, we're going to judge him as a niskolim, and he's going to get skila. So apparently, we're suspending the din of rov. So Tosa says in the name of Rabbi Tam, it's kavua. We call kavua kevetzal mechzedom. And if it's mechzal mechzed, we have sofik nefashos lahakil. I mean, a different kind of sofik nefashos lahakil. It just lowers his punishment from that of srefa down to the level of skila. But this is on a doraisa level. I mean, we're talking about Mises Bezdin. We're not talking about derabbanan. And there's no nikar ha'isur b'mkomo. I mean, obviously, you could say that Ben Adam is not Batel, and I can't use the law Bittel, but that's only the Rabbanan Halacha. Now we're saying a Dorais Halacha, and Rabbeinu Tam is applying the principle called Kavukim Etzal Mechzedon. It's not just Rabbeinu Tam in Zvachim, it's also Tosfos in Sanhedrin, it's also Tosfos in Chulin. And he writes, V'hasam arelo mikar lanu. Right, we don't know that this one is Chayav Misa this, and this was Chayav Misa. We don't know. So that's one shita. That once the Tarobis is created, and we cannot apply Rov because we're dealing with human beings in this case, then we're going to go back to the Din D'Oraisa of Kavua D'Oraisa, which might reflect the sheet of Tosfos that we did just a few minutes ago, as opposed to the Ran. Then he writes, Tosfos in Gittin and in Nazir write that Ha'omer L'Shlucho, here's a case where a man sends a shliach to be Mekadosh and Isha, and the Gemara says that Chazoka al Shliach Shosa Shlichuso. Now, anytime you want to marry a woman, she might be the sister of your wife. You can't marry two sisters. But Tosfos says that's only a knas. In other words, we're not going to say that on a deraisa level he can't marry any woman in the world. For sure, he can rely on Rove. I mean, what are the chances statistically that this woman is the sister of the one woman that was married by the shliach? It's a knas. He shouldn't have done that. You know, you don't send the shliach stam and say, you know, just marry me the first woman that you can. There's a lot of literature on that, right? He says, apparently, according to these two Tosfos, eino nesa midraisa mishum kavua. Even though here there's no bittel because a human being is not batel, but that's not enough to generate a din d'oraisa of kavua mishum she'eino isa nikar liatzma. We don't know where the isa is. And on this we have a Chochmas Adam, the Chai Adam in his Sefer called Binas Adam, which is a super commentary on his work, the Chochmas Adam. He says that Rabbeinu Tam holds the lo be'in sheheya isa nikar, that we can apply kavua d'oraisa even without the condition of nikar isur. This is where we have to underline it. Visagi, this is his take on Rabbeinu Tam. Vamesha Adam Echad Yodea. Now, somewhere in the world, somebody knows. You know, this woman that received Kedushin from a Shliach, she knows. Or in the case of Chayvei Misos, then we don't know, but they know. You know, they can identify themselves. They were there at the trial and they heard the condemnation. So we can't recognize them, but they can. V'lachein kevach nido yodea she'eino chayav misa. Meaning he's not chayav sreifa. He knows he's only chayav skila. Therefore, chashiv nikara isav avle kavua min haTorah. So the way that Binas Adam justifies the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam and others in Tosfos that is kavua d'oraisa even in Eino Nikar Isa is because it's Nikar to someone. As long as there's one person in the universe who knows the Isur, so he recognizes the Isur. We can't recognize the Isur, but he can. So basically, according to the Binas Adam, everybody, all the Rishonim, agree pe'echa that you need Nikar Isur in order to generate Kol Kavua Kemechza Mechza D'Oraisa. The question is, and here's going to be a machlok, what is Nikar Isa? Is it Nikar Isa to us when we're asking the Safek? Or is it Nikar Isa to someone? Then he adds another condition. He says, V'ulam be'inon sha'a Isa v'chein ha'makiris Isa yu b'faneinu v'yeno chaser el gili milsa. So this is not the case in Nazir where he sent the shliach. We don't know where the Isha HaMiskadeshis is. But in the case of a Tarovis of Niskolim and Nisrafim, or we have a case of Tarovis of Chatos of Mesos, Shor and Niskal Bizvachim and all that, there, the one who knows is Bifanenu. Right? So the one who knows that he's Chayav Skila, not Srefa, is Bifanenu. Yeah, we don't know who he is, but he knows, and he's Renenu. But in the case of Shliach, there, where's the Miskadeshes who generates this Isur? And Loma Kirinosa, so we don't know her. That's not called Nikara Isur, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, and that Kavu would only be Dirabban. Then the Binas Adam goes a step further, and he explains the Shita of the Ramban, who holds like the Bach. The case of ten Chanuyos, and now here's a strange case. Every one of the ten Chanuyos has one Trefa in it. The Nitzes Rea Achas Trefa, the Ofeche, I said that every single one of the ten has a Vade Trefa. No, one of the ten has a Vade Trefa. So again, Luch Ora, I would say that's not Nikar HaIsur B'Mekom. Nevertheless, the Ramban and the Bach say this is Kavua Min HaTorah. What does that mean? So he says the classic case of Kavua Min HaTorah is Zarek Evan Lego. So there's a group of people, nine of which are Yisraelim, and one of them is Jewish. And he throws a stone, and the question is, can we use, just one second, what did I say? I said nine of which are Knanim. It says, let me just get the case right. I said, Kevin should know the Sheyesh of Yisrael, right? Nine are Knanim, and one is Yisrael. Afal Pishlo Noda Yisrael Klal, which we can't identify him. Havile Kavua Min HaTorah. So Kavua Min HaTorah means that we know that there's an Isur there. We don't know where the Isur is. It's not Nikar B'Mekomo, we can't identify, but we know there's an Isur there. Therefore, in the Chanus, one of these Chanuyot has a Vade Trefa, even though we can't identify it, that generates Kavua Min HaTorah. He says the following, that according to the Ramban, everything depends upon whether there's a tarovus or not. If there's a vadai isur and it's not a tarovus, so for example, you have the 10 people who are together in a group, one of them is definitely Yisrael, and he's separated from the other group. And even though we don't know where he is, that's called kavua. Only when there's a tarovus and it's a real mixture, then we say that we'll rely on Rove. So now let's talk about the case of Chanuyos. In the case of Chanuyos, the Isur is not mixed up. You know, there's one Chanus which is separated unto itself, and it has Isur in it. In that case, it's going to be Kol Kavua Kimechzal Mechze Domi. Now it comes out that according to the Ramban, in the case in Nazir of a person who sent the shliach to Mekadesh one woman, that kavua is going to be Doraisa. Why? Because it's just like the classic Zarek Evan Bego, which is the paradigm of kavua, that even though we don't know where the Yisrael is, but nevertheless the Yisrael is there and he's not mixed up with the other people, so to hear she who is Miskadeshes, she is somewhere alone and not in a mixture, and that's enough to set up Kol Kavua Kemechzal Mechzedom. And that, he says, is the sheet of the Ramban and the Bach. Now let's just leave out the next paragraph for a moment. And do you have Tzariches Os Nun Alf? Hashtel, if he mashin is buyer, Lashita Sabach, So we have this Shivcha, and she married into the Mishpachos of the Kusios, but she is not Misarif. You know, there's no Tarobas. Every human being is on its own, or in this case, on her own. And therefore, Tosfos has a justification in asking, this is Kavua min HaTorah, and that should be Mafkir the Knas. And the reason for that is because it's not a Tarot. So even though you'll argue, wait a minute, it's not Nikar Mimkom, but nevertheless, it's not a Tarot. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you need Nikar Mimkom in order to generate a din of kavu d'oraisa, so that would not justify Tosfos's kashya. It would not be justified. But chen l'fima shesbar b'das haramban de'i neima de'banoshim lo shach din bitul berov lo shach b'zet harovus avi lekavu min ator kevin shlo botel afal gav lo nikar iser hakinami v'nil not avi lekavu min atorah. Ulam I neima kabinas odem de'odem choshim nikar iser kevin shiyodea bi'atzlo mahu. Is benido didan shenis arvo ben shivcha v'yemei kadmonim. That's early in the history. V'en adam yotea, but she herself knew. Is yesh kan gam kan eno yochelios kavua min ator mishum eno isa nika bimkoma. Again, what breaks up the nika or isa bimkoma is the fact that hu yotea v'atzmo mahu. So he says that in this case it's Ein Adam Yodea. Why the Tarobas took place generations and generations ago? So nobody knows who's Osir over here. And therefore, we would not apply the din of Kavua. Because we only apply the din of Kavua when it's Nikar, at least to some person who knows about it. And that person is Bifaneinu. So here it can't be Kavua Minator because Ein Oisa Nikar Mimkom. So basically what the Cheshvan comes out here, the Tosfos Kasha, would reflect the Sheet of the Bach, and the Sheet of the Ramban would not reflect the Sheet of the Binas Adam, nor would reflect the Sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. So Blin Eder, we'll go over this last piece tomorrow, and we'll sort of make a summary of this whole suit.
Okay.